If you would open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. Tonight we're beginning a new series, Surviving the Storms of Life. Life has storms. How are you going to survive those storms? We're going to look at various topics in this. How do you overcome discouragement? The storm, it comes like a storm. How do you overcome the unknown? When you need to forgive someone, how do you overcome those feelings and emotion that you have? Stress and jealousy, all types of things. How do you overcome when someone rejects you? All these are very important topics. And in this series, we're going to talk about God's principles for victorious living. The storms of life come, and they come to us all. And if you're going to survive the storms of life, Jesus said you must build your life on the solid bedrock of God's word. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus is speaking. This is part of his Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whosoever shall hear these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. See, the storms come to us all. The rain will descend. The floods will rise up against you. And the winds will blow and they will beat upon your house. They will beat upon your life. The storms of life, they beat upon our homes. They beat upon us. They beat upon our lives. They beat upon our spouses. They beat upon our children. They beat upon our families. And every force of the devil beats to destroy us and to take us under. But if you will build your life on the solid bedrock of God's word, when the storms come, you will be able to stand. Jesus said, if you do these things of mine, and that means you're not just automatically going to stand. People think, well, I'm a Christian, so I can just stand. No, you've got to do what the Word of God says. You're not going to be able to stand just because you're born again and you're a Christian. I have known a lot of Christians who have gone under. I know many people who love Jesus at one time, but they found themselves living a life of defeat, and they just slowly drifted away from God. But you don't have to live in defeat. You can find the secrets to surviving the storms of life, and you can live a victorious Christian life. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the issues of life, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I read all of those. In preparation for this, I just wanted to see, what did Jesus have to say? And the first thing that he addressed, the first issue of life that he addressed on the Sermon on the Mount was anger. Look at Matthew 5:21. He said, you have heard that it was said of old times, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. See, we let our tongues wag. And when we do, we get angry. And we say ugly things. We say hurtful things. We say them to our children, to our wives, our husbands, and to our employees and others. It's just because we cannot control something that's down inside of us that God wants to get rid of. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Matthew 5:23. Jesus said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and thou rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee. He didn't say if you have aught. He said if you remember somebody has aught against you. Well, you know, the peacemakers, the Bible in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. That means that you should make peace just as quickly as you can if things, you know, get mixed up. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we get blindsided. Sometimes it's just the affairs of life. But be quick to fix it. Be slow to anger. Amen. He said, therefore, Verse 23, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift at the altar. He didn't say take your tithe and offering back home. He said leave it before the altar and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, get your heart right. Out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. And we're dealing in this series with the issues of life. Verse 25, he said, agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him. Lest any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Truly I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out thence until you have paid the full price, the uttermost farthing. My subject tonight, I want to talk to you tonight about unrestrained anger. Anger that is uncontrollable when it comes to you. Let us pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we just thank you, Lord, for victory. That we're going to build our lives on the Word of God. And Lord, you have made us more than conquerors. You said that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And when we place our faith in you and what your Word has decreed, we know we're on our pathway to victory, no matter how great the storm. Open our minds, illuminate our hearts, oh God. Thank you for knowledge. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about this anger that Jesus was speaking about in his Sermon on the Mount. This is not an ordinary anger where you just get mad. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. See, the word he uses in that text of anger, it's an anger that gets deep down inside of you and it begins to smolder and it begins to cry out for revenge. And it looks for a chance to get even. It's a smoldering anger. It's something inside of your heart that just will not go away. You have fed it and you have fed it and you have fed it instead of doing what the Word of God says. And now this thing has captured you. It is down in your heart, and you have an issue that you have to deal with. It's something that's deep within us, and it cries out to get even with somebody. It's something that builds up little by little from little things done here and little things done there, and you just store it away in your heart. And you keep storing it away until it builds up, and it cries out for revenge. And it cries out to get even. So we have to deal with this thing to keep it from building up and allowing it to get a hold of us. So if it has built up and it has gotten a hold of you, how do you get rid of it? You do that simply by making a decision to do that, to renew your mind with the Word of God. Amen. See, many times people's anger builds up so much that they get mad with God. I mean, this thing just continues to grow and grow and grow. So I'm talking about the storms, understanding this thing called unrestrained anger and the storms of life, how to survive them, because we're all going to face them. And Jesus said we are. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to build your life on the bedrock of my word. So sometimes people, this thing builds up till they get mad with God. God, why did you send this storm? Why did you let me have that wreck? Why did you send counsel my way? Why did you break my home up, God? Why did you let that happen? Why is my child living out in sin the way they are? Why, God? Why? Why? Well, did you ever think that's a real devil? Amen. Some people want to blame God for what the devil is doing. That's because they are so shallow in the Word of God, they just don't understand. They want to blame other people when many times it's just an issue that's down in their heart that they have never dealt with. I have to deal with mine. You have to deal with yours. We all face this. Every one of us. There's no temptation, test, or trial taken you, but such is common to man. So what we're talking about is relevant to everybody. So get mad at the devil. Don't get mad at God. Get mad at the devil, start shaking your fist at him and tell him, I'm taking you out because I got the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and I'm coming against you. You're not taking me under. I'm more than a conqueror. I read the book, hallelujah. And I know who I am in Jesus. And I just made a decision. I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love people that are created in God's image. And my happiness is not going to be in their head. My happiness is going to be in Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get mad at the devil. Look at what Jesus said in John 10 and 10. He said, John 10 and 10, the thief cometh. He's talking about the devil. Not but for to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, don't get me mixed up with him. He said, he's the one causing all these problems. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But I'm convinced that most people hold this smoldering, burning anger deep down in their hearts. And it's an anger that calls out for revenge. That's why this subject matter is so important. You cannot allow something like this to control you. See, we live in a society where millions of people are filled with anger. Look at the road rage. Look at the people that are shooting people. I mean, just, it's unheard of. When I was a little boy, you never heard of anything like that. But it has infiltrated our culture. And so we need to learn how to deal with the issues of life so we can survive this storm. Amen. See, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you know. It does not matter what you know. Most educated people, they don't know how to live. We got lawyers that they don't know how to even keep their home in order. We got big businessmen that control millions of dollars, yet they're so unhappy. And they can't live in peace and harmony with their family. This thing, you know, is a killer. It doesn't matter how successful you are. If you cannot keep your home together, you just don't know how to live. It doesn't matter how successful you are. If you don't know how to get along with people and have relationships with people and love them, even though they do you wrong, then you don't know how to live. So how do you overcome the storms of life? How do you have a successful life? Great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to live life through and say at the end, hallelujah, the dream came true. That even though life dealt me some lemons, I just decided to make lemonade. Hallelujah. And I'm enjoying the journey, and I just love God, and I love people, because I choose to. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what they choose, I just choose to love God, and love people, and to help people, because they're suffering the storms just like I am. But if I'll help them, and I sow that seed, God said, whatever you sow, you're going to reap, so he's going to send me a blessing. And if you sow discord, discord is coming. But if you sow a blessing, woo, a blessing's on the way. Somebody help me preach. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, life was made to be a positive adventure. But for most people, most of the people you meet, life is a negative adventure. Why is it that way? It's because of the choices they have made, the attitudes they have, and they just mess things up. So how do you deal with this thing? Unrestrained, uncontrollable anger. Now, if you're human, and we all are, pinch yourself, say, I'm a human, I'm on the planet, then you're going to have problems with anger. I'm going to have problems with anger. Everyone faces anger. Everybody gets angry. Look at Proverbs 16:32. So how do you deal with it? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. When I was in the business world, I kept that scripture before me every day when I would go into the meetings. Because people were so angry and they were cursing, mad at one another. And they tried to unleash that thing on me. I said, no, I'm not going to live that way. I just looked down Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit, he's stronger than somebody that takes a city. Everybody gets angry. but it's uncontrollable anger that results in so many human problems. Uncontrollable anger, unrestrained anger, is when you get going and you just can't stop. And then you say things that you wish you had never said. Words are like an arrow. Once you shoot them out, you can't call them back. But you can go and apologize. So many people find it so hard to do that. But that's the sign of a great person. They're slow to anger. And they decided, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to forgive you. Amen. Oh, uncontrollable anger is a terrible thing. See, the Bible tells us that we're to be slow to anger. And if you're slow to anger, you are stronger than a mighty man that could take a city. Samson couldn't even control his emotions. He couldn't control the sex drive. My God, he wanted women that he should have never had. Amen. He was a mighty man that could walk away with the gates of Gaza on his back. He was a strong man. Yeah, he was a strong man, but he had a desire that carried him down. He couldn't control himself. See, if you're going to control or rule your own spirit, you're going to be a strong person. And you'll have to have God's help to do that. You'll have to pray and seek God and get godly wisdom on how to overcome this human emotion. The wise man Solomon, look at what he said in Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Now that's a barrel full of wisdom right there. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. See, don't be in a hurry to get mad. Don't have a short fuse. And it happens. I call it blindsiding. Sometimes the devil, he blindsides us. You know, you're just going along and everything is, you're on the love boat. Like that couple sitting over there just got married. You're on the love boat. Everything's just going along lovely. And then all of a sudden something is said and you think, well, you said that, but you meant this. And between the time that thing left your mouth and got to their ear, the devil, he took some imaginations and thoughts and injected them into the words you heard, injected that into your mind. He's injecting poison in there. And what you've got to realize is that person loves me. They're not mean. I know them. They're just upset about something. They're having a bad hair day. So I'm going to help them. Hallelujah. It happens to us all, doesn't it? It happens in every home. It happens everywhere. It happens in the business world. It happens in the church. It happens in families. It just happens because there is a real devil. Be not hasty, Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. That's where it rests. I can remember how angry I was when I came back from Vietnam. And I had people trying to push my button, trying to get me to manifest that anger. But I knew if I did, they'd lock me up and put me in the funny farm. Because where I had just come from, you know, it was a war. And anything goes there. But not here. No. And so I had to learn to control this thing. And I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked on it for years. And would walk away from things. But when I gave my heart to Jesus and I carried it to the cross, God said, that spirit of destruction will destroy you that followed you home from Vietnam. I was afraid of it myself. I didn't want to unleash it because if I did, I knew I couldn't control myself. But God put some restraints on it. God put some controls because I carried it to the cross. And I know that God will deliver people from this thing. It's a spirit. And you have to watch it because it's a destructive spirit. Amen. So point number one, what is anger? Point number one, what is anger? Anger is an emotional disturbance. Anger is an emotional disturbance. It is a solical action. It is part of the mind, the will, and the emotion of man. Point number one, what is anger? We receive this emotion that I'm talking about from Adam, the first man. Just as you receive human characteristics from your mother and daddy, you are called the seed of Adam. And when he fell into sin, you inherited his sin and you inherited his emotions. Amen. Everybody has influence. I thought about the influence of a mother, the influence of a daddy, how they mold and shape our lives. The influence of a good wife, how she can mold and shape your life and help you with the issues of life. I thought about some of the teachers that taught us in the educational system that were good, godly people that deposited wonderful values in our life. And then I thought about people that were angry, mean people, mean-spirited people, people that also influence you, but they don't influence you in the good. They influence you in the negative. I want this church to be what we say it is, a loving, growing church bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus, because life has storms and people need healing. Hallelujah. They get ideas that I call it perception. I learned it in the business world. Whatever your perception of something is, that is really what you think it is. It may not be true at all. So you got to find out what is real and what is going on and what's in this person. Do they love me? Or we just have a misunderstanding? Are they a mean-spirited person? Are they kind? Are they trying to serve God? Or do they serve the devil? Well, if they're trying to serve God, help them serve God. Forgive them. Love them. Don't be angry. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your raft. Hallelujah. So this emotional disturbance called anger, it came from Adam. And you have it, and I have it, just because we're humans. That's it. It's part of the soul of man, his mind, his will, and his emotions. Anger comes from a feeling. It does not come from mental reasoning. It comes from a feeling. It doesn't even have to be a fact. It's just an emotional feeling that you have. And it comes from a feeling of, I've been injured. You did me wrong. You've hurt me and I'm mad. It's an emotional agitation. Everybody faces it. Anger comes from insults. You put me down. It comes from resentment. I didn't get a fair deal. I was done wrong in this. Anger can come from distress. I'm down and out, and I'm mad. Life has mistreated me. No one has helped me. Life has done me wrong. Well, I was born wrong. I don't like the family I grew up in. Well, if you don't like the way you were born the first time, try being born again. I'm sure you'll like that. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you'll build your life on the bedrock of my word and do these sayings, he said, you can live a life of victory. So anger comes from hostility. Anger is a negative, depressive emotion. Anger is not positive. And anger does not make you happy. It will never make you happy. It doesn't have the ability to make you happy. A quiet spirit will make you happy. A forgiving spirit will make you happy. A loving spirit will make you happy. And guess what? It'll make everybody else around you happy too. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. Point number two. What is the source of anger? What can stir this thing up in us? Well, words can stir anger up. Look at what the wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So it's harsh words. It's hot. Sharp words. That's what makes a person angry. So words make a person angry. And words can stir up problems. What else makes a person angry? Well, the Bible says jealousy can. The Bible says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Jealousy is a cruel thing. So you can have a mate or a friend and somebody else moves in on them and something wells up inside of you like a storm. You're jealous, and it makes you angry. A spouse, you can become jealous, and they've done nothing wrong. And you can't let them out of your sight. And you wondering where they are all the time. That'll kill a marriage. It'll kill a home. It'll kill a relationship. You got to learn to trust people. You got to learn to trust God. And you got to learn to pray and help people. Hallelujah. Amen. Jealousy. You're jealous and it makes you angry. You can treat one child better than you treat the other child, and that creates anger in a home. It creates an emotion in that child that will follow them for the rest of their life if they don't deal with it. Yes. There are thousands of things that can cause anger. Pride. Pride is a big one. Pride can cause anger. You want to be recognized. And you want to be treated by others and be recognized. And if you don't get that recognition, you become angry. That's because you're proud. That's because you got a heart full of pride. Because if you were humble inside, it wouldn't bother you at all. I don't care how much other people achieve. I want them to achieve. I remember in the business world, somebody said, "Do you know they got that promotion? Do you know they got that raise?" I said, "Well, I'm glad they got it." I said, "I can't spend a penny of it, but I'm glad they got it to spend." Hallelujah. Don't be envious of others. Envy can cause anger. This thing is a killer. Then there's people who cannot control their temper. And when things don't go their way, they become angry. A temper where someone has not learned that others have rights, that others have feelings. And we should make allowances for others. We all have to deal with this issue. An uncontrolled temper, it can produce anger. I fought that thing. We weren't done right when we came home from the war. They spit in our face. They wouldn't give us a job. They wouldn't let us in the educational institutions. They shut doors in our face. They mocked us and made fun of us, called us baby killers. No, we were warriors that fought to keep this nation free. Whether the war was right or wrong, we were chosen to go and we did our duty. And people came home with all kind of scars and marks. It's the never-ending war. They finally gave it a name. Delayed stress syndrome disturbance. That you have a problem because you fought a war. And others don't understand you, and you don't understand others because you're different now. So how do you get over that? You get the Word of God. And you build your life on the bedrock of God's Word, and you say, God is love. God said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple if you have love one to another. And you learn to love people, and you learn to forgive people. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. When I'm angry, get over it. It's a choice. Don't let that spirit build up and build up and build up till that thing ruins your life, ruins your career, ruins your marriage, ruins your home, ruins your relationship with your children. It's a killer. God is a great God, though. Point number three, where did this thing called anger come from? Well, it started with the first family. It started with Cain and Abel. Adam fell into sin, so if you really want to find the source of it, the devil did it. The devil is behind it. The devil is behind marital problems. The devil is behind relational problems. There's a devil behind cancer. Somewhere he's there. There's a devil behind sin, sickness, and disease. He's the enemy. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are carried out in your brothers that are in the faith. Everybody's facing these things. These issues are real. You have to learn to deal with them. It came from the fall of man. And Cain, through anger, he slew his own brother Abel. The anger came about because of a religious condition. Religion will kill you. If you don't believe it, look at what's going on now. Jihad, the holy war. Religion is a killer. But that's not Jesus. Jesus is the love of our soul. Jesus loves. Jesus gave himself. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend. Who are you willing to lay your life down for? I think back many times, am I willing to lay my life down and to lay, you know, what I want down to make peace with this person? Well, I was willing to fight a war and put my life on the line. Why wouldn't I be willing to do that? To be a peacemaker. To love people. To help people. I've seen enough suffering. I don't want to inflict suffering. I want to bless people. I want to help people. That's why we're called into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a devil. So if you ever get that straight, you're on your way to victory. Hallelujah. So anger started with the fall of man. Cain killed his brother because of religion. Abel brought his offering, and the Lord accepted it. Look at Genesis 4 and 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. He was angry. And his countenance failed. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you so angry, Cain? Why is thy countenance failed? Verse 7. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Boy, that's a sermon right there. If you get angry, sin is lying at the door. And all of a sudden, if you're not careful, emotions just start flying this way and that way. I've had it happen in my marriage. And you say things that you shouldn't say. Don't look at me like you're so holy. You've had it happen too. Everybody has it happen. We're all faced this issue. And we got little children. We're molding and shaping them. And they're going through different stages. And they have hormones changing all the time. When a child is growing up, you got to learn something about them. What am I doing to them? What will my influence be on that person? Will I mold them properly? Will I shape them properly? Will they love me when I'm old? Will my grandchildren love me? Will they come and hug my neck? I want to be loved, don't you? Then learn to love. Learn to give. Learn to forgive. Don't let this thing take you over. Amen. Angry. It's a terrible thing. Look at Genesis 4. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He killed his brother. I remember when I came home from Vietnam, my brother, I wasn't saved. My brother said something to me. And I took him and I pushed him back against the wall like that. And I drew back to hit him. And when I did, his false teeth fell out. It smote my heart. He said, don't hit me, Jerry. I said, I'm not going to hit you. It was that one thing. If he hadn't had dentures, I don't know what would have happened. But when I saw that, it smote my heart. And my mother told me, she was a woman of wisdom. She said, son, learn to control that thing. She said, sometimes people do things in anger, and those things destroy lives. You have to learn to control this thing. I mean, we're talking about how to survive the storms of life. I like that one Sunday morning, don't you? Hallelujah. I like it all because it's all good. Amen. But religion today still produces unreasonable outbursts of anger. But Jesus didn't come to bring that. He came to bring peace to the world. He came to bring joy. He came to bring forgiveness to the world. He came into this world to know that there is a true and a living God, and that God is love. No matter how much you mess up, God still loves you. Amen. And that's what the Lord wants to put in all of our hearts. He wants to get anger and hate out of our heart. That's why Jesus preached that Sermon on the Mount on how to live, and then how to build your life on the bedrock of God's word. Point number four, what will anger do? Anger can blind your mind. It can blind your mind to reason or to common sense. It's amazing. Look at Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? I don't like you. I remember one time this man, I don't know why I didn't like him. I couldn't figure out why I didn't like him. And one day I realized that he was in a position with a minister that I wanted to be in. Y'all know him. His name is Rod Parsley. He was Lester Sumrall's boy. And Lester took him under his wings. I studied a lot under Lester. But I was standing in a Bible bookstore, and I was looking at some books that Rod Parsley had written. I said, God, why am I so angry against that man? What is it I don't like? What do I envy about him, God? And he let me know it's because of the position he has with Lester. And so I had to make my mind up. I would go with Lester, but I wasn't the one that God chose like that. And I said, I'm going to bless him, God. And I bought every book the man had wrote that day that I could find. I just refused to let that thing overcome me. It was envy. It was jealousy. And I recognized it. I said, wait a minute. You're not going to rule over me. I'm going to rule over you in Jesus' name. I'll just bless him. Sometimes you just got to decide to bless people. Hallelujah. What will anger do? Anger will fix it where you can't even think straight anymore. An angry woman or an angry child, they can't think straight. An angry person that comes against you, they're not thinking right. It's an emotional disturbance. It's not human reasoning. Solomon knew a lot about this subject. And he said, an angry man is outrageous. What will anger do? Anger demands retaliation. It wants to hurt others. Look at 2 Samuel 13:22. Amnon had defiled Tamar, Absalom's daughter. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Look at verse 28. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. That's what anger do. Fear not, have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. So here's a situation in a family where Amnon had violated his sister Tamar, his half-sister. And Absalom, his brother, was so mad and so angry that he had his brother killed. That's what anger can do. It demands retaliation. Now, Jesus knew how destructive this thing was, and so the first subject matter that he addressed in his Sermon on the Mount was anger. Did you know that anger can make a person physically ill? Many people are sick, and they are sick because they are mad about something. Look at Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's why I'm a praiser. That's why I like to just love on God and love on people. A merry heart. That's why I like to exhort people. Just be happy. Hallelujah. Don't let this thing overcome you. Overcome it in Jesus' name. You never know you're an overcomer until you have something to overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus said, when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, he said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. See, you're in some good company when people do you wrong and they start persecuting you. And you've only done good to them. God says, rejoice. Woo! I get up here sometimes and dance and praise God, not because I'm so happy, but because of the storm I'm going through. And I just let the devil know, you're not going to stop me from praising God. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. And he's going to win my victory. I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Not because I'm so happy. Because I know the power of praise. And I know one thing. If I just get to thinking on things that are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, things of good report, things of virtue, and things of praise, pretty soon a little wheel turns over inside of me. My joy just starts rising. The peace of God just passes all understanding, enters my heart, and I enter into a rest with God. That's why Jesus said, build your life on the word of God. And when the storms come, you'll be able to stand. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Well, if a merry heart is good like a medicine and it can heal you, what does an angry heart do? It makes you sick. So it can cause organs of the body not to function properly. It can cause ulcers that can develop into cancer. And it can cause you to die at an early age. Point number five, what does God say about anger? Look at Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go. God says, if you know a person that stays angry all the time, then leave them alone unless you want trouble in your life. He said, if you want trouble, make friends with the person and go on trips with a person that's angry all the time, and that thing will get into you. He's angry with everybody. And if you stay around that person, you will become angry. Anger becomes a spirit, a demon spirit, that every day you get up and every night you go to bed, it's there, and it drives you. Don't let it get in you. Proverbs 14:17, look at this. He that is soon angry, dealeth foolishly. Solomon had a lot to say about this subject matter, I tell you. Had all those wives, I guess he learned a lot. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. But look at what Proverbs 19:11 says. The discretion of a man deferreth anger. A wise man says, wait a minute. I've got other things to do in life other than just be angry with you. The discretion of a man deferreth anger, and it is his glory to pass over transgression. That I know you're angry. Can we just talk? No, I don't want to talk to you. Can we reconcile? No, I don't want to do that. I just want you to know I love you. And I'm going to be praying. I don't want you praying for me. If anybody say that, I have. I had the same people come back and say, will you pray for me? I'm sick. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Just love people. Because anger is an emotion. It's not even reasonable. Amen. How many of us are beginning to catch on now? That we need to control our human spirit. Amen. So we need to learn how to overcome this thing. Which brings me to point six. How do we overcome anger? First of all, we must learn to control our emotions by our spirit. We must learn to control our emotions by our spirit. We did a great study on the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. God said, I want you to develop these characteristics. Matthew 5:25, agree with an adversary quickly. I mean, you got an enemy, agree with him. While thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. And so the first thing that you can do is to forgive. It takes a big person to forgive. It really does. Another way to overcome anger is by walking in the Spirit. Look at Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look at Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. See, if you're going to be angry about anything, get rid of it quickly. Don't let the sun go on where you're sleeping on it and it disturbs your sleep and you're angry inside and you can't get any peace and you can't get any rest. You get up the next day, you feel so bad. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Look at this one, Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, these are all works of the flesh. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Boy, that's a mouthful there. Evil speaking. Gossip. Running people down. What if they gossip about you? They talked about Jesus. They call him a devil. They did. Just get over it and forgive them. They're just having a bad day. Let all anger and all wrath be put away. Don't let it spoil your life. That's what I'm saying right now. So God wants us to be happy. God wants us to have an abundant life. God wants us to survive the storms of life. We have to put on the old man with his deeds. And we have to put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus. Look at Colossians 3 and 12. This is beautiful right here. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against even as Christ forgave you, look at this, so also do you. That's powerful. And if you'll do that, look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. So put away anger, and above all, put on love. And forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Jesus said, if you're going to survive the storms of life, you must build your life on the word of God. Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. See, some people hear, but they don't do. James said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Make a decision, a quality decision, that you're going to overcome the storms of life. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. God wants us to survive the storms of life. And I can promise you something. If you will take this book right here, and if you will hide it in your heart, and if you will pray over it and ask God to help you, God will help you to survive the storms of life. And one day you will find yourself walking in a victory that you never knew possible. But you can be sure of this. And just like the storms you have faced in your Christian walk, you will face storms that are ahead of you, because no one is exempt. And Jesus said, if you hear my sayings and if you will do them, when the floods come, when the winds blow, when the rain descends, and when they beat upon your house, your home, your marriage, your relationships with others, it will stand. Let us stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice.
We love you, Lord.
All my praise.
Take my heart, Lord. Take my life.
All my praise, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. I give myself.